Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Dave Erfle, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Now, Dave, look, fact of the matter is the gold sector is still quite boring. However, at least we have seen a little bit of a rebound in some of the stocks or the ETFs like GDX and GDXJ. Those have rebounded from some key almost breakdown support levels and gold back up to about 1830. It's actually grinding its way higher, almost $5 to $10 day after day in the last couple days. I have to be honest with you, I am a little bit more encouraged with some of the moves I've seen in some of the underlying stocks. Even some of the really small micro cap juniors have gotten a little bit of a buy. However, problem being, all it takes is one bad day for gold, for the gold stocks, and we are right back at those breakdown levels or right near those, especially when it comes to the stocks. We'll start off by talking about GLD, though, because you noted a large buyer that came in about 2.5 weeks ago. On a Friday, there was large purchases within GLD. Break down some of the data behind that day that GLD, it was just one day, but share with us that one day of optimism.
Yeah, sure, Corey. Yeah, it was interesting. It happened on Friday, January 21st, and that was before the big Fed meeting that everybody was waiting for. $1.63 billion worth of physical holdings were purchased in GLD, which was 27.6 tons in one day, which was a record in the fund, which was introduced in the early 2000s. So that was very encouraging. And another thing that's been encouraging is it appears to be that there's a large buyer below 1800. Whenever the gold price gets below 1800, you see big buying come in quickly. Last week, we had two such days where the gold price dipped below 1800, you started to see some selling, and then all of a sudden you saw a V-shaped intraday recovery very quickly, and the gold price get back over 1800. Twice that took place last week. Every time the gold price has gotten towards 1780, you've seen buying come in really quickly. So that's telling me that there's a pretty good support system there at 1780. And that's basically a kind of a double bottom on the daily chart. I wouldn't look at it that way. I just look at it, if that was below 1780, that would not be good. And then you'd see more selling coming in, probably down towards that more solid support area of 1750, 1760. But we're now here pushing on resistance at 1830. And like you said, the gold stocks are starting to act a little better here. And we also, a thing you didn't mention yesterday, was we saw some decoupling from the stock market. But yesterday, we saw weakness in all three of the U.S. major big board indexes. We saw the Dow, we see the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ all seeing selling coming in on their down trend line. Well, the gold stocks decoupled from them and rose yesterday while the equities were seeing some weakness. Today, we're seeing the opposite. We're seeing more buying coming into the stock market, but the gold stocks have held those gains and they're adding to them a little bit as the gold price is bumping up on that 1830 resistance line.
Well, Dave, it's interesting to see that at least gold and the related gold miners aren't taking it in the shorts and selling off really hard before the Fed rate hikes, as many were expecting. And instead, we're seeing this gradual grind slightly higher, but we're still pretty much stuck in a range. Do you think that when we saw some of that big buying come in GLD, or when 1780 support holds and it gets back up over 1800, that we're finally seeing some safe haven buying coming in from generalists, because there has been turbulence in the general markets, in the tech stocks and the meme stocks and the cryptos and everything. And when they were selling off, it looked like maybe some of that was finally a safe haven bid coming into gold. Could that be some of what we're seeing?
Well, I think you are seeing FANG rotation basically mostly in two stocks, and that's the two largest gold stocks on the planet, which is Barrick and Newmont. Especially Newmont, you've really seen a bifurcation in Newmont. So you're still seeing some FANG rotation coming into Newmont. But I don't think it's really taken place yet, and it hasn't trickled down the food chain yet, especially in these high-risk juniors that are trading on very low volume, most of them. And you know, every time every once in a while, you do see a high spike in a mid-tier or a developer. It's usually a fund liquidating a position, but that selling is met with some buying coming in each time I've seen that happen. So I really don't see too much more downside in the gold stocks unless the gold price loses that 1780 level. I think that's a very important support line now that we have to look at. Because if you take a look at the GDXJ and the SILJ and silver, silver and the mining sector have been trading kind of in lockstep recently. Especially the GDXJ and silver and SILJ, because those are higher risk. And if you take a look at that 22 line in silver, that's a very important line of support now. I would not like to see that broken on a weekly closing basis, is then that would bring into play that 2141, and there's a lot of stops down there. So I'd like to see that defended, and it has been so far. Especially with stock market weakness, it's held up, which is nice to see. But if you also we need to take a look at the dollar. I mean, that dollar made a huge reversal. It looked like it had broken out to a 52-week high. It looked like it was on its way to 98, 99, and it did a really strong reversal. And silver really didn't react to it. Silver now is bumping up against $23 resistance. So we still need to see the $25 level in silver breached to get a little more excited here. And we have to see more buying coming into these silver stocks, which you're just not seeing yet.
So Dave, driving down into some of the stocks, because I feel like we've talked about $1,800 gold and low to mid 20s in silver forever now. But yeah. In terms of the stocks, what do you think actually gets a stock going? If you're looking at buying a stock right now, and I think you need to focus more on what the catalysts are going to be, what catalysts actually play out in this sector for you?
Well, as far as individual stocks, you look for volume and you look for follow through. But as far as the sector is concerned, you really need to see these more the higher quality developers, explorers start to have strong moves, because the last stocks in the sector that's going to move once we do have a sustainable bottom are the higher risk explorers that have yet to basically find define a deposit, especially if they're trading in riskier jurisdictions. So it's basically the majors that start to move first, and we're seeing that in just two of them, like I said, in Barrick and Newmont. And you start to see some money coming into the royalty stocks. You're going to start to see money coming into RGLD, into Franco-Nevada, into Wheaton Precious Metals. And then you're going to start to come down the food chain in other majors. Your Yamanas, your Agnicos. Agnico is about to finalize that merger deal with Kirkland Lake. So, it's basically a food chain thing. It goes from the lower risk down to the higher risk juniors.
Well, Dave, a lot of times, like you said, we will see the producers move first. And I was noticing yesterday on that move that a lot of the producers were up 6 to 10% on the day in the gold space, and gold really hadn't moved nearly that much. So there was some outperformance. Do you think if we start seeing moves like that, where the producers, especially I'm thinking the mid-tiers, start to move aggressively, and so basically their share price is worth more, that they actually may go on some acquisition sprees themselves once their currency is higher than some of the juniors that haven't moved yet, where we get that disparity between the two? If the producers start moving and the junior explorers and developers don't, could they then take their shares and then use those to purchase miners, juniors?
Yes, I think that's going to be your other catalyst. I mean, when you start to see M&A activity pick up again, you're starting to see cash components in these deals. And, and a lot of these deals, the takeover company already owns a substantial position in the junior that they're taking over. So if they already own a substantial substantial position in the junior, and they sweeten the offer with some cash, that's a very good sign for the sector. And I think once that starts to happen, it starts to pick up, that'll definitely be a strong catalyst. I'd like to see a closing above 35 in the GDX. Then we could start to see some serious fireworks in the sector.
Just that little of a move, hey, Dave? Just GDX up to 35, so. Because we're not all that far away from 35. And I realize we have been closer to the breakdown levels of little below 30. But right now, GDX is at 31.50. It continues to grind higher. You think just that limited of a break after all of this sideways consolidation would actually cause a bigger bounce higher?
I do, because I think it would, that a move like that would coincide with the gold price getting over 1900 on a monthly basis.
Okay. Well, Dave, we'll wrap it up here. Always great chatting with you. And hey, hopefully, and I feel like I've said this week after week, there'll be a bit more to talk about next week when it comes to the precious metals sector. But I feel like odds are that it will be kind of boring again. Who knows? Maybe something will come out of left field, or maybe, well, who knows what could drive these prices higher. But at least some sort of positive move, and even some of the juniors has been nice to see. But you're right, it has been on very low volume. Dave, thanks as always for your time. We'll chat again next week.
Looking forward to it. Thanks.